A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 506. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about The Wind in the Willows. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
We are talking about a BBC television film version of Kenneth Graham's classic children's novel. This was broadcast on New Year's Day in 2007 in the UK and slightly earlier in Canada. It's 100 minutes long and it's adapting this classic children's novel.
It is indeed. And we love an adaptation of a children's classic. We love a great cast. We love a very colourful screen version of it. And that's pretty much what we've got to talk about here, Brian. Lots to get on with.
Yes, that's right.
The setup. We start with a young and somewhat timid mole who is digging his way out of his winter home to discover that spring has sprung. The glories of the English countryside are opening up around him, and he's out and about exploring, and he meets a rather languid, relaxed water rat who likes nothing better, it seems, than messing about in boats and planning what to have for their tea.
And their idyllic time together and going out on the water and so on, all very lovely, will soon be disrupted by the antics of the very energetic and rather out of control Toad of Toad Hall. And soon they will be making a perilous journey into the wild wood to look for help.
If you're familiar with the book, which you probably are, you'll recognize these elements straight away.
Absolutely. So let's move into the characters. And we should note that they are wearing makeup and wigs and sort of prosthetic makeup to make them look just a little bit like the animals they're portraying. So they look mostly like people, but with a little bit of the animal kind of look about them.
Indeed. So I've mentioned Mole, played by Lee Ingleby from the show Crooked House that we watched and enjoyed. Here he is as a timid young animal first venturing out into the outside world, captivated by the beauty of nature all around him and by some of the adventures that they're going to have, although it would seem that he prefers the slightly gentler adventures to some of the more chaotic ones that will come later on.
We also have Rat, played by Mark Gatiss, who we saw in Crooked House and also in First Men in the Moon, but he's also had lots of involvement with Doctor Who and Sherlock and other shows. Rat is a very sophisticated water rat who loves his boat and his tea and his, you know, serving tea and his lazy lifestyle, very casual in this riverside home.
Very much so. And while we're talking about veterans of Doctor Who, we've got another one. Toad is played by Matt Lucas, of course, who plays Nardole in Doctor Who, but we also talked about him in a slightly less impressive show, Crod Mandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire, I believe it was called, Brian, which we weren't very impressed with that show. But anyway, here is Toad, the rich owner of Toad Hall, fascinated by advances in vehicles in particular, but he's also cursed with a short attention span and he's soon looking to move on to the next fad or the next excitement, and this is always getting him into trouble, for which he relies on his friends or his money to get him out of trouble. Toad of Toad Hall is a big rambunctious character who's in trouble quite a lot, Brian.
Yes, he certainly is. Badger, played by Bob Hoskins, who we saw in The Lost World, and of course he's known for Who Framed Roger Rabbit and many other things. Movie star, acclaimed actor. Badger is a grumpy and reclusive creature who lives in the wild wood in his own place there. And he is sort of the wise sage who Rat turns to for help when Toad has once again gone off the rails.
So those are our four central animal characters. I should say that the supporting cast also features Jim Carter, Anna Maxwell Martin, Imelda Staunton, Alexander McQueen, and I'm pretty sure it's an uncredited vocal performance from Tom Baker providing the voice of the judge. They've got another actor playing him, but I'm sure that's Tom Baker's voice, Brian.
It certainly sounds like it.
So let's take us from the gentle riverside into the wild wood. Rat and Mole are very happy planning their boat trips, packing lunch hampers, and generally having lazy days, lovely lazy days on the river, messing about in boats. But they are persuaded by Toad to join him in his newest acquisition, a horse-drawn caravan. He's decided this is the thing for him. And so they go for a jaunt on Toad's caravan, but that is not to last either.
That's right. Like all of Toad's obsessions, this is another passing fad. And when a motor car passes them, Toad is captivated and becomes a car person with a motor car of his own. And his terrible driving leads to lots of accidents and getting into all sorts of trouble, and causes Rat and Mole to make their journey to visit Badger to get help for Toad. And will Badger be able to talk some sense into Toad?
Well, we will find out. Yeah, as ever, the adventure's Toad causing problems for his friends.
Absolutely. So let's get into the production notes.
So, The Wind in the Willows, written by Kenneth Graham and published in 1908. Graham, I note, had just retired from his job as the Secretary of the Bank of England, and he was looking forward to a gentle retired life for pottering about. Now, he is persuaded by family and friends that he should be writing down the bedtime stories about Rat and Mole, which he used to make up and tell to his son, Alistair. And how many times have we sort of like discussed children's classics coming from family bedtime stories, Brian?
It is a common way that happens. And he initially struggled to find a publisher for it. But once the book was in print, it became a bestseller almost instantly and became a favorite for readers all across the world. And even the American president, Theodore Roosevelt, wrote to Graham in 1909 to note that the characters were now like old friends to him. So, an unusual bit of presidential approval there.
But it shows you how soon the novel became like a runaway worldwide hit.
Yeah, that was a year after it being published. Quite remarkable. The book was also a big influence on A.A. Milne with his Winnie the Pooh stories.
And I'll mention that, obviously, The Wind in the Willows gets many, many reprints. In 1931, one of the reprints included very famous illustrations of the animal characters by E.H. Shepherd. And if you know that name, you will know that he is notably associated with A.A. Milne and the House at Pooh Corner. So he sort of like becomes the definitive artist for those two children's classics, and probably gives us the depiction of Rat and Mole and Toad that sort of lingers on to the present day. Although now, as we say, we've got actors in sort of makeup portraying the animal creatures. And I'll also note that The Wind of the Willows is made up of a number of short stories, as you would imagine from bedtime stories, but it was the misadventures of Mr. Toad of Toad Hall that captured the public imagination and have dominated adaptations of this book pretty much ever since, Brian.
That's right. On British television, the first version we get was a live-to-broadcast performance in 1946, which featured Kenneth Moore as Badger and a young John Pertwee as the judge who sentenced Toad to to jail. And this was so early that we generally don't have a lot left from things from that point. It was not recorded, and I don't believe there are any surviving photographs even.
I couldn't find any when I was searching, no.
Yeah, there are photos from some things from the 40s, but yeah, not many. Cosgrove Hall made a stop-motion animation version in 1983 with David Jason as Toad and Michael Hordern as Badger. That one's available on DVD, and that sort of sounds like an interesting take on it. That was an 80-minute film that was popular enough that it led to a TV series with Jason and Hordern, which ran for 6 years and 52 episodes, also on DVD, and a spin-off series called Oh, Mr. Toad, which lasted 13 episodes as well. So that was quite an involved version there.
I spoke to my daughter about that one, and she remembers the stop motion animation as being rather creepy on that, particularly the characters of the stoats and weasels and some of the inhabitants of the wild wood being quite scary.
Oh, interesting.
While we're sticking with animated versions, I'll mention again two more versions in the 1990s. One is on DVD and starred Rick Mayall, Michael Gambon, Michael Palin, and Alan Bennett, no less.
Wow.
Yes, I know, impressive. And also the 1990s is when we get some very successful theatre adaptations with actors in varying degrees of animal makeup playing the characters. And again, it's Alan Bennett, notably his adaptation for the UK's National Theatre in 1990, which was a huge success. I remember hearing about it and reading about it in Bennett's memoirs. And that may have led to some other bits and pieces. But for this production, I remember that being a huge success and hearing a lot about it at the time and reading about it in Alan Bennett's memoirs. Now, for this version we have been watching, we have production work by Justin Thompson and Patrick Irwin for the Box TV company. So they're the producers.
It was adapted for screen by Lee Hall, best known, I think, for writing the film Billy Elliot, Warhorse, and Rocket Man.
Yeah, he probably doesn't want us to talk about his screenplay for the movie Cats, Brian.
Yeah, maybe less of a highlight for him there.
Yeah, everybody wants to forget that one, yeah.
Yeah, Wind in the Willows was directed by Rachel Talalay, who at this point is probably best known for directing Doctor Who. She actually started with film direction and then moved to TV. She directed for the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise with Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare from 1991, and Tank Girl in 1995 before moving on to television productions.
Interesting, yeah. What a start to Nightmare on Elm Street and then on to The Wind in the Willows and then to Doctor Who.
Very strange, yes. The production went to Romania for filming, and the supporting cast, many of them are Romanian actors whose few lines in this are dubbed by other actors.
Yeah, interesting they go to Romania. It certainly, I mean, they've done a good job of making it look like gorgeous English countryside. For this show, we've got music composed by Benoit Dutras, costumes by Vin Burnham, and special effects created by the Digital Dimension Company. It was a big production, actually, so there's lots of different parts of this and taking it to Romania for filming.
Yeah, for sure. The Wind in the Willows was first broadcast on the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, in Canada on December 16th, 2006, and then it was broadcast on BBC One on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2007, at 6:20 p.m. It went on to a U.S. broadcast on Masterpiece Theatre on PBS on April 8th, 2007.
Canadian broadcast beating us to it this time, Brian, by a couple of weeks.
It seems it did. That occasionally happens with co-productions and things.
Now, in terms of its reception, generally very well reviewed, although I read some of the reviews and there does seem to be a slight difference of opinion about Matt Lucas and whether he stole the show or perhaps may have spoiled it slightly. We will talk about that more in our next episode. But I will note that Rachel Talalay did quite well as the director and went on to win the 2007 British Columbia Leo Award, which is for children's television, for her direction on this show. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, interesting for the Canadian province of British Columbia there. So not expected.
Now, availability. In Region 2, it's pretty straightforward. A BBC DVD from 2015 is the most recent version. £7, just film and no extras as far as I can see. I've been watching the streaming version, which is on Amazon and Apple for about £3.50. The DVD is also available to rent here on cinemaparadiso.co.uk. It'd be nice to have some extra features. I did see a very short YouTube feature of Rachel Talalay talking about some of the shots and how they set them up. That's quite interesting, but I'd like to have seen a bit more of that. In Region 1, Brian?
In Region 1, there is a Masterpiece Theatre DVD release that sells for about $12 US. There is a different Canadian DVD release that sells for about $19. In the US on Amazon Prime, it is available for $4 to rent and $20 to buy. And it is included in a PBS Masterpiece subscription in the US as well.
Okay, so lots of ways to watch this show. The Wind in the Willows book, of course, has never been out of print since 1908, widely available. I confess I've not read it, Brian, but we did listen to the audiobook version narrated by Alan Bennett. It's an abridged version. It was quite popular on long car journeys with my family, although as I said to you before we recorded, I think we were more of a Winnie the Pooh house than a Wind in the Willows house, both for my childhood and for my kids growing up.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Yes, the books have been a staple of children's fiction collections for decades, and it's been widely available in all sorts of formats and so on.
Right. Come back and join us next time. We're going to continue the adventures of our four animal friends. And interestingly, we are going to talk a little bit about the place of Wind in the Willows in children's literature, and in particular, what it might tell us about Kenneth Graham and Edwardian Britain. So some stuff to talk about next time.
Absolutely. And we will share some of our own thoughts and recommendations about this production and whether you should get one of those DVDs.
Indeed.
Until then, you can find all of our previous episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. Join in on some conversations. And you can also find us on Threads and Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, if you do social media, come along to some of the nicer places, particularly British Invaders. Give us a follow. Tell us what you think of the show. Get involved in the chat. And find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network, also on the internet at vognetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks for podcasts, for gaming, for Twitch streaming, for lots of geek content. vognetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.